I drove many a friend crazy when I would yell for them to turn this up when this song started playing, especially when it got to this point. And I'm going to ask my person on the phone with me, Thomas McCrary. That's you playing that guitar, is it not, sir?
Yes, it is.
That is the Easy from the Commodores, and Thomas McCrary was one of the founders of the Commodores, and he played the guitar so well on Easy. That was terrific. I really did annoy a lot of people saying I wanted to hear that louder and louder.
Well, you know, I must admit that was a highlight for me as well. That was my first write-up in Rolling Stone magazine. So as a musician, you know, that was pretty huge.
Let's talk about the Commodores. When did you went to Tuskegee, and I think that is where you met up with Lionel Richie. Give us some of the information about the start of the Commodores and what years we're talking about.
Well, in 1967, I was a freshman at Tuskegee University, and standing in the registration line, I heard this young man whistling a song by Eddie Harris. And I turned to him and I asked, was he a musician? And he was very shy, and he said, not really. This young man was Lionel Richie. And I told him that I was going to, you know, interested in finding some musicians to put a band together to be on the freshman talent show. And he said, well, I live here in Tuskegee, and I know some guys, and you can meet me at my grandmother's, and who lives across the streets from the campus, and you can audition these guys, and if you like them, you can put them in the band. So he comes down playing a saxophone, and I said, I thought you said you weren't a musician. He said, oh, I'll play a little bit. I said, okay, you're in the band.
So that band didn't go by the Commodores right off the start, did it?
No, it didn't. We were the Mystics initially, and then we wanted to change our name, and nobody would vote on the other guy's recommendation. So I decided that Mike would give one of the guys, we blindfolded him and opened up a dictionary, and we said, whatever name that his finger stops on, that's going to be the name of the band.
You know what? It's a good thing his finger didn't go a little bit further on that page and, like, stop at commodes.
In fact, it did initially. We had to do a redo on it.
Thomas McCrary is our guest. He's written a new book. It's called Rock and Soul. You don't just focus on the Commodores there. But I want to ask you a couple of other questions in regard to your time at Tuskegee and your time in high school when you were in Eustis, Florida. In addition to music, what else was happening in your life that made you consider what it was going to mean to grow up in this country and to make a difference in this country?
Well, I was the first African-American to integrate a public school in the midst of the Civil Rights Movement, which was in Eustis or Lake County. And it was a formidable racial tension during that time. And it was fervor that gave me the perseverance and the grit and the love and the passion for others that drove me throughout my career, in fact, as I look back at it. The lyrics, like, why would anybody put chains on me? I paid my dues to make it. Hmm. When you think about lyrics that penetrates through the hearts and the souls of people, I think that was the gasoline and the fuel that helped me throughout my music career.
You know what? I'll never listen to Easy the same way, because I didn't think of that as an inspiration for what you have as the lyrics in that song. I thought it was something else, like a man-woman relationship or something like that. But if you'd think of it in a broader term, it makes better sense to me.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes as writers, to commercialize it a little bit, we may, make the listeners think that we're talking about a female or something, but the inspiration sometimes is a lot deeper than just the male-female relationship.
When you're talking about music, How aware were you of wanting to create a different sound that was unlike it borrowed from, it would be related to, it could maybe trace back to? But when you think of the Commodores and a certain sound there, you all are given credit for making a different sound, and I don't know what words to use to describe it. How aware were you of trying to create that, or did it just evolve?
Oh, no. It was intentional. I like to refer to it as the signature sound of the Commodores. It created and by integrating melodies and notes and rhythms and to try to set a new trend. And that was the whole idea of it. You know, we listened to a lot of other artists as we grew up in the industry, not being writers initially. We play songs by Glenn Campbell, by Three Dog Night, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and I would do what I call Commodorizing those songs, putting our own arrangements to them. And what that did was it gave us an ability to attract audiences, both white and blacks, introducing blacks to songs that they may not have heard, but they loved the feel that we had on it. And white audience would go like, wow, these guys, they are playing a song that I recognize, but it feels even better. It feels different. It feels groovier or whatever, you know?
So yeah.
That was the beginning of us entering into what I call the signature sound and creating something different.
Before we run out of time, I want to ask you a couple more questions. One is, what is life like post-Commodores for you? What's keeping you busy now?
Well, I've been very fortunate to have brilliant children that have joined me musically, and we got a new LP out, with the new single called "Do It." And it's been exciting being able to put something back into the community. I spend a lot of time raising money for children who suffer from lupus and arthritis. I didn't realize that was young people had that disease, and of course, we raise money for adults as well that don't have health insurance. We contribute to our troops and supporting them. So it's been really a lot of fun just being able to do these things with my family. And, of course, as we tour, we just came back from London introducing a new record and our new book. And BBC had us on. It was 17 million viewers that initially responded to our new project, and we're very, very excited, just being able to still be vibrant and making a difference musically and in our community.
Your memoir is Rock and Soul. Before I let you go, tell people who would pick this up what you would like for them, in addition to knowing more about you and your life and your experiences, one thing that you would say, I hope people would get this if they read Rock and Soul.
I wish they would get that there is a bigger challenge for us all, and that is to find how and who we are and to operate from that core and to do it with love and embrace the human race in a way that it was created initially from our Heavenly Father. And we have a responsibility, to ourselves and to our country and to our communities to love.
We will let it end at that. Rock and Soul. It's available now, right, at the bookstores?
It's available now. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. And also you can purchase it on my website, www.thomasmcclary.com.
Thomas McClary, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time today and for so much joy and music that you brought to us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I've enjoyed, David, being on your show.